kuluarach Open Eyes Economy Summit 2022 w studio Szkoły Głównej Handlowej w Warszawie i Dziennika Gazety Prawnej mam zaszczyt gościć pana Andersa Wijkmana, który podczas otwarcia tegorocznego forum zaprezentował zbiorową pracę grupy autorów Ziemia dla Wszystkich, książkę, której autorzy, zdaje się, wiedzą, w jaki sposób ocalić planetę. Good afternoon, Mr. Wijkman. You are the president, honorary president of the Club of Rome, and you presented this fantastic, tremendous proposal, how to survive. Apparently, you know how to survive in this period of turbulence and crisis, as we call them in economics, black swans. What are the main recommendations for us?
Well, of course, nobody can be 100% sure, but we have made an attempt in this report, on the one hand, to look at the background, where do we come from? And there, the Limits to Growth report is very important. And this is sort of a 50-year follow-up. We are conscious of the fact that we are surrounded by a number of very difficult problems and crises. Everything from war in Europe, Putin's aggression, climate change, the overuse of many vital ecosystems, a pandemic that is still with us, and then a number of social issues that are very problematic. Still, a lot of poor people in the world, and the number of poor people have increased during the pandemic. We have inequality in societies on the increase. A little percentage in the top, they do very well, but most of the people don't do very well. So we need to address all these problems. And we have come up with what we call five necessary transformations. And these transformations deal with address poverty, address inequality.
As you said, more aggressively.
Yeah,
so
more
we'll
aggressively.
Come back to this issue.
Yeah, because we really need to redistribute wealth in the world. Secondly, we need to do something about inequality, redistribution inside our economies. Thirdly, we need to empower women because we believe, A, it's a question of justice, but also a question of women when they are in lead positions. They tend to be more intelligent and long-term in their thinking.
They are better educated even.
Yeah.
You know.
And fourthly, we need to rethink food production. There is so much waste, so much pollution, and we know how we can do it. We talk about regenerative agriculture, where you disturb the soil as little as possible, you build carbon in the soil, thereby you move from being a carbon source to a carbon sink, and you improve the yields because the soil is more fertile. And then fifthly, we need, of course, to transform the energy system. And we don't talk primarily about nuclear, we talk about renewables, we talk about intelligent steering of demand, we talk about digitalization, distributed systems, and storage. And we believe that that could work very well.
And you said during your presentation that we need to electrify everything, almost everything. But also you mentioned that there are two scenarios, moving around without great changes, but also to just make this great jump towards the modernity based on those elements you already mentioned.
We have looked at two scenarios, one that we call too little, too late.
Exactly.
And the other one is the giant leap, where we really move in the right direction. But we have to invest then in the right technologies. There is a lot of money around in the food system. You just have to redirect it, give incentives to the farmers in a different way. Then, of course, I would have liked to see a sixth turnaround, which is material consumption, because materials are the main drivers. Steel, cement, electronics, textiles, ammonia, aluminium, electronics. Those generate a lot of emissions. And that's where the demand is that requires energy. So we need to rethink material consumption and understand that quality of life is not only about buying stuff.
Exactly. But also you mentioned that inequality is a source of many, many problems of our times. And you came with the very clear solutions for this. $1 trillion to the growing countries. You propose also to introduce even the taxation on the wealth, just canceling the debts of those growing countries also, to make this equality, this system more equal, more just, based on justice.
Many of these countries that are now low-income countries, they were colonized, and they now, I would say, suffer from a trading system that is benefiting us in the rich countries much more than them. So we need to help them to stand on their own feet, to build a platform. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has a mechanism called special drawing rights for countries that have a difficult situation. Those special drawing rights have mostly been used by middle-income and high-income countries. We should direct them to the low-income countries and to stipulate that they should invest in green technologies and thereby creating green jobs. So that's one thing. Another thing is, of course, a more favorable trading system. A third thing is to do away with the intellectual property rights the way they are organized now for renewable technologies and for health technologies. Look at the pandemic, how difficult it was to distribute vaccines to the poorest countries. Exactly. And they were refrained from producing them themselves. So we have a very unequal world.
Certainly, but also, you know, with the pandemics and with this war in Ukraine and then weaponization of energy we are witnessing now in Europe, one could have impression that we are going two step backs regarding renewable technologies in the Central Europe. We are coming back to the carbonization, not thinking about those Green Deal objectives we want to follow.
I agree, there is a risk. I think the European Commission has been managing this quite well, because there is, of course, a risk that the fact that Putin is blackmailing us in the field of energy would lead to just going back to coal, etc. And that is happening, but I also think that there is going to be a push for alternative energy, for renewables. What I'm afraid of is that some countries will take sort of the easy solution, invest in nuclear the big way.
It is the way, it is a scenario that is an alternative for our, how it is seen from Sweden.
Well, Sweden, until recently, we were thinking of phasing out, because we've had altogether 13 reactors. We have now, I think, 8 or 9 in production. Now we have a new government leaning towards the right, and they have all of a sudden taken the decision that we shall invest in a huge new nuclear program. I'm not saying that the world can do without nuclear energy, but I don't believe that the solution is nuclear primarily. I think the solution is solar, wind, waves. The wave technology is coming very, very rapidly. We have been waiting for that for long. And the interesting thing with wave technology is that the waves are always moving. It's not like the wind, which sometimes just stops. Yeah. So you have a better capacity there.
Exactly.
And the force of the waves are so much more stronger than the winds. So I think that's a given. And then, of course, storage technologies, both batteries and green hydrogen. At least we have to analyze this before we take decisions.
Precisely.
And by the way, how the hell could we run the world on nuclear energy? We would have to build reactors almost everywhere. I mean, it's impossible.
Precisely. The key words regarding this beautiful book is unless. As you said, if we didn't follow those prescriptions, how to save the planets and our societies and our world, what would be the scenario then for us? It is a catastrophe, apocalypse or something like this?
Nobody knows. But since since the different crisis situations are interlinked, of course you run the risk of having a snowball effect or tipping points that will make things more and more difficult. I'm following very closely the research in the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Studies, and they have specialized on the tipping points. And they are interested both in the tipping points that are negative, but also in the social tipping points that could be positive. And here again, I think a more equal society will make it much easier to take the right decisions. Because if people feel trust in society, they are willing to think about the long term. If they don't trust society, they only think about the short term. So there is a balance there.
How much time we've been left with this, you think? 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, decades?
I think it's dangerous to have any predictions about that. Because it has been said many times, we only have 5 years or 10 years. The only thing we know is that it will be more and more expensive and difficult to change the course the longer we wait. So it's in our own interest to do the right things now, not tomorrow or after tomorrow.
Thank you very much for awakening our awareness, because in any case, it's just to be aware of the situation, and it's time to act, certainly. Thank you very much for visiting us and discussing with us.
And you know, the interesting thing to me is that I wouldn't say that one of the turnarounds is more important than the others, but we emphasize the social turnarounds very strongly, because we believe that unless people feel trust or have trust in the future, this is not going to work.
Which is sending us forward to the main issue of this Open Eyes Economy Summit, which is credibility, but also in the dimension of social dimension. You mentioned the low-income countries, you mentioned women, and other issues are important as well. Moim i Państwa gościem był pan Anders Wijkman, jeden z inicjatorów bardzo interesującego opracowania Earth for Old, z niektórymi rekomendacjami, co zrobić w dobie kumulacji wielu kryzysów i pewnymi propozycjami dotyczącymi sfery gospodarczej, energetycznej, ale także społecznej. Thank you very much for being with us. Gościliśmy Państwa w studio Dziennika Gazety Prawnej oraz Szkoły Głównej Handlowej w Warszawie w kuluarach Open Eyes Economy Summit w Krakowie. Dziękuję za uwagę.